All right, so I don't want to take a whole lot of time here recapping last week, but we are talking about the idea of a blacksmith and how him working with metal, a potter working with clay, a man working with wood, different ways to sculpt and things is a whole lot like how God works in the life of a man, and how that a lot of the rules that cannot be denied about those trades, the same principles apply to our lives in this matter of serving the Lord and being submitted to Him. And so that's what we're doing. We're just making some comparisons. Last week we talked about tools of the trade, how that he's got to have the right kind of tools, and how, you know, he'll take care of them, and he gets them. He don't get them at Walmart. He don't get them from China. He gets good tools, and he takes care of them, keeps them oiled up, keeps them protected. But there's some other things that go along with this thing here. We talking about four different things this month, and this week, what we're going to talk about is instruction and guidance. I'm sure everybody in here has worked a job. I've worked a bunch of them. We used to make a joke that I was a three-year guy, because about every 3 years I had to just find a new career. And because I was tired of the one I was doing and I had to find something else to do. I was bored. I had to do something else. And so I've had a lot of first days on the job. And some of them was pleasant experiences and some of them weren't. And some of that contributed to finding another career, another career choice. But I remember this, that when I was about, I don't know, how old was I, Dad? 17 or 18 when I went to work for Danny? About 17? Yeah. Something like that. Pastor's son over in Virginia had a construction business, and he asked me if I wanted a job, and I said, yeah. So it's kind of my first job, you know. And I remember Dad telling me before I left, because, you know, at 17, you know how much you know. Come on. I mean, you know how to do all kinds of stuff. And what I lacked in wisdom, I overcompensated for in confidence. And he told me, he said, listen, he said, if you know how to do what he's trying to tell you how to do, just pretend like you don't. Let him instruct you on how to do it. There's a real good chance he wants you to do it a different way than him, than you do, a different way than you want to do it. And I remember going, and I remember taking his advice, and it made a huge difference. Down through the time that I worked for him, there was other people that worked for him that were, you know, hard to work with. And I found favor in his sight because I just did what he wanted me to do. Yeah. I didn't contest him. I didn't buck the system. I didn't try to, you know, everything wasn't a debate about who would be, you know, which would be a better way to do it. I hate that. I hate that so bad. You know, nowadays it's getting to where, you know, everything is in question. Whether it's your parents, whether it's your boss, whether it's God, it doesn't matter. Everything's up for debate. You know, everything's up for discussion as to whether it's still a good way to do things or if there's been found a better way to do it. And, you know, as someone who has had guys working under me at different points in my life, that for me, I tried to be patient with ignorance in the sense of let's teach you how to do this, but I had no patience for someone who contested what couldn't be changed. I mean, there's only one way to cut a square cut with a saw, and that's you got to have a square. You know, you can't use a string or, you know, I mean, always trying to propose a new idea for how to do things. Nobody ever taught these people how to receive instruction. You know, in the matter of what we've been talking about a blacksmith, smithing intrigues me. It's an ancient trade. It's one of those things that you hear people say nowadays a lot about different things. Even what I do, I have people say, wow, that's almost like a lost art. Wyatt's wanting to do some trapping this winter. And I've had a lot of people, I've heard them say, well, that's almost like a lost thing. And it is. You want to know why? Because you have to learn from someone who knows how to do it. And nobody wants to learn from, especially old people anymore. Nobody wants to listen to what they have to say. The mentality, or should I say the spirit towards the old paths and the old folks has been changed in our society now. Their wisdom that they have from a lifetime of man, you know, trying over and over again and making mistakes and learning the hard way could spare us all a whole lot of time and learning the hard way if we'd listen. But nobody wants to do that anymore. They have, you know, better ways. I hear people talking about, you know, the other day I was listening to somebody and they were talking about the difference between reading a book, like a real paper book, and reading digital books. You know, everybody's got one of these Kindles or something like that. You got Audible or you got something on, you know, you can download books. And the convenience of being able to just get them like that, and there you've got the whole thing. But there's something lost between a digital book and a paper book. And then there really is. There's some disconnect there where some amount of the knowledge you gain from reading that digitally is lost. There's a disconnect there. You know, it's almost when you read something, even on the computer or on Facebook or any of that stuff, there's a certain context to that that is disposable. You read it once and then you don't ever see it again. Whereas if you've got a book, I've got books that I've had since I was a child. I love to find old books at yard sales and things like that. And I always flip to the front. What are you looking for? How old it is. And we was in a barn one time and I found a bunch of old books that were textbooks from back in the 30s. They were college math textbooks. And just fascinating to me because of how, you know, simple and yet very straightforward. They didn't mince words. But it was old. And yet there was these books. It was the old way, see? And back then, you know, this matter of like I'm talking about blacksmithing, that is something that has to be learned. It can't be learned from a book. You know, Kim was talking about this morning. It's kind of like when you go, has anybody ever, whether by choice or by force, ever went skydiving? Anybody ever done it? Yeah, well, when I was young, and you remember what I said about lacking wisdom I overcompensated for in confidence. Okay, that was me when I was in my early 20s, and you ask her, I always wanted to jump out. I wanted to parachute. I wanted to do it. I wanted to go skydiving. Yeah, you couldn't blast me out of a plane now, I don't think. I can't even ride a roller coaster. Y'all know that. I have a panic attack on a roller coaster now. I can't. No. Why? Well, it's an unnecessary risk, for one, as far as I'm concerned. but you know, if you go to parachute out of an airplane or something, like if you want to go to one of these skydive different places, there was one over there in Virginia, Skydive Virginia, or Skydive the Valley or something like that. But there's like a 3-hour class or something like that. It's so many hours of classroom time before you ever even go out to the hangar where the parachutes and stuff are. But here's the deal. At some point, you go out there and put on a parachute. And then you get on the airplane and then you take off and jump out. I mean, it ain't just classroom. There's a certain amount of this that's hands-on. What do they used to call it? OJT, on-the-job training. You know, you can watch someone do something forevermore, and then there comes a time where you got to pick it up, start swinging a hammer. You got to pick up a saw and start making some cuts. You know, it's been something that's been really hard for me, and I'm still learning about, you know, with my kids, for instance, and I hate to use him as an example all the time because he's sitting right there, but like mowing grass. Now, I like my yard to be mowed a certain way. I know where every rock is at. I know what part of the ditch to not get in because I won't get out without a tow. He's had to tow me out a few times with the four-wheeler. You know, I know my mower. I know how much I paid for it. And so the thought of just saying, all right, here's the keys. Now go learn how to mow grass is really hard for me to just relinquish that and say, go for it. But at some point, there's going to have to be some bad mowings before there's some good ones. And I've got to accept that. I've got to work with him and let him learn that way. I think a lot of times this matter of understanding, like instruction and guidance, we have a wrong concept of it about even how we teach our kids because we like to operate within the safety of what we think is godly instruction and guidance. And yet we never let them steer the car. I mean, Anna got her permit here a few years ago and she's got her license and That was a real, like, full circle moment for me in my life when I looked over and it's my first child and she's driving me down the highway. And yeah, like, like it was a scary, honestly, it wasn't so much, I'm sure it was a lot more scary for her than it was for me, but at the same time, there was a lot more going on in my head than, oh my, she's just a child and she's driving me down the road. No, there was a lot of, you know, things that come rushing back in on me and some things that I started to put two and two together in this matter of even, you know, understanding instruction, you know, and how the Lord works with us and is merciful, long-suffering. How many times have that when you talk about when Daniel run off in the ditch up there in Wallaceville with the Suburban driving down on the wrong side of the road and he's in the, you know, I mean, but you were willing to get back in there with him again and might have taken a little while, but, you know, somehow you managed to learn. You know, the Lord is a whole lot that way with us. And yet, you know, we don't follow the same. All right, so I want to make a few comparisons here and not exhaust this too awful much. But when it comes to understanding the idea, the principles of instruction and guidance, the first thing that we need to understand, and this is all the way across the board, especially, I don't want this to come across as just making the application to raising kids, because this also parallels with our relationship with God and the fact that we affect everyone down the line from us in some way, for good or bad, in this matter of how we understand what instruction and guidance is. You know, I've heard it said that Woodrow Wilson, back in the early teens when he was becoming president and all that back in them days, I don't know if you guys know much about him, but he was not a good man. He was not good for this country. He set us on another pathway that has been the undoing spiritually of this nation, and morally also. But he, one of the things that was back then was that there was a lot more of a, what they call an agrarian society, where there's a lot more farmers in this land, a lot more people that made their living on their little farm. And, you know, it was all kind of in-house. Dad had the farm. Mom raised the kids and him, and they had their farm and they raised their animals and their crops. And the boys grew up and learned how to do what Dad did. And then someday Dad and Mom got took care of by the kids and the boys run the farm. And everybody, it was just that way. And in a society like that, morality and godliness and character and all that stuff is founded in the Word of God. It was a whole lot more prevalent that God's Word was the guiding light for that society. And Woodrow Wilson understood that society, that he, this new deal that he wanted to come up with, was never going to work as long as most of America was like that. And so that's when they started pushing kids to go to college. Now, that's a whole nother rabbit hole, but I will say this. His quote, and you can find it and read it, was that the reason why he promoted young men to go to college was so they didn't grow up and be like their fathers. That was what his quote was. His statement was why he pushed higher education beyond like just elementary and high school, what you'd get in a little schoolhouse like Crummertown out here in the woods or like there used to be all over this place, was so that you could go and basically be taught a different way of life so you didn't grow up and be like your dad. And he was successful at doing that. He changed society's understanding of instruction and guidance. You know, you've heard the stories and the different songs and different things been written down through the years about how the boy grows up on the farm, moves away, comes back, and Dad don't know anything anymore. There's a better way to farm. There's a better way to manage your cows. There's a better way to pick a wife. There's a better way to live your life. You know, we read that book about Henry, and that's what happened to old Henry and his family, you know. And in the end, you know, like Wyatt said, that's the most depressing book I've ever read. And it is, because there was not a happy ending in that situation, but it was the reality of what. And see, we tend to live in this little bubble where everything works just the way we want it to. And we feel safe within the understanding that we have about instruction and guidance, especially. We start out, you know, and see, I said that about Woodrow Wilson and how it changed our society to say this. The nation that we have now, it isn't just the young people. You hear that said so much, well, kids these days, or millennials, or these Gen Xers, and blah, blah, blah. No, listen, look, they got problems, no doubt. But we're generations into this now. You know, there's a reason why when judgment fell in Israel, it began at the house of God with the gray-headed men. Because this don't happen in one generation. It happens over a period of time. And so, you know, I have met people, and you have too. I mean, we know them that lived their whole life, even right around us here, and got to be old men and died without ever knowing the Lord. Well, let me rephrase that. Having rejected the Lord. They reject Him. They know the way of the Lord. They know the truth. They're presented with it 100 times. Some of you in here have presented it to them 100 times. And they just rejected it. Why? Well, because their idea of instruction and guidance was skewed somewhere years and years ago. Years ago. And you wonder why we're up against them. I look at my kids, and we say it all the time. They're not growing up in the world we grew up in, even me. And I got to give them something more, to something stronger than what I had, so they'll be able to withstand these fiery darts and all that. Well, this is fundamental, what I'm talking about here. You can't learn anything unless you are willing to submit to a couple of things. First of all, one of the things you need to submit to first is the fact that you do not understand how to do what's required of you. Whether you're 6 years old or 2, or I mean, they start learning from the moment they draw their first little ragged breath. And everything that we do is a hammer blow falling on that metal. Everything we do, whether we do it right or whether we do it wrong, and we mold them into what they will be. And yet then we're molding them into what they're going to mold someone else into be. And that's how it works, you know. And if we could, it's just like having to go back up the stream to find the source of the poison. You just got to keep going further back and further back. Boil it down. And it all comes back to you and me individually. You know, do I understand anything about instruction and guidance, like the way God intended for it to be? And my relationship with that? I mean, we spend all of our time, when a child is born, first order of business is to protect them and keep them from harm and keep them from getting hurt. And they're so fragile, and there's so many different things that can happen to them. I mean, you're just obsessed with just keeping them alive, just making sure they don't die. And then they start walking, and then everything changes. And then you got to try to keep them from killing themselves and burning down the house and drinking poison and eating Tide Pods. And, you know, well, wait, that's the older one. But everything about it in that stage of life is that. And you're trying to help them understand that, hey, you can do this. Do it. Do it. You're pushing them to walk. You're pushing them to ride a bike. And then they start wishing that they were older, and they want to be bigger, and they want to do this, and they want to do that, you know. And it's funny, when you have a bunch of kids, there's different personalities in each. You know, one of them is scared to drive, and the other one is just upset that you don't think she can drive. And she's never drove anything in her life. But her life's goal is to prove to me that she can do it. Because I don't believe she can. So she's going to prove me wrong. That's really scary for me. It's really scary. Because here's the deal. She doesn't understand this matter of instruction and guidance yet. And where did she get that from? Well, let's go back up the creek a little ways. You know, there's been somebody putting something in her all her life that's encouraged this out of her. Same as the other one who's scared of it. Somebody's been putting something in her to make her feared of stuff. And it's unbalanced. because neither one of them understand the things about instruction and guidance like God wants. But have you ever met someone that's that way in the matters of obeying God? Have you ever been that way? I have. Afraid to do what He wants me to do. Or overly confident that He does not believe I can do what I know He wants me to do. And why am I stuck here? Why am I not out here doing some great, great thing? I mean, don't He know that I'm ready? Don't He know that I can do it? And see, He understands this matter of instruction and guidance, and I do not. And then you see it just play out in your children's life. And then your children's children. And that, I guess, the older that I get, the more I'm becoming aware of how this all starting to fit. It's funny how it all just starts to kind of mesh up and like, you know, that's what He was trying to say. I wish I'd have got this about 20 years ago. Because then maybe I wouldn't have raised my kids all to be, have these different things. One that's afraid and one that's not afraid, it should be. And one that is, you know, look, they're a result of everything we put into them. Or everything we allow someone else to put into them. You know, I know people who have done a good job on the anvil of life with their kids, but they let someone else come in and work their iron while they weren't there. And then they messed things up. And then they don't understand why everything turned out wrong. I've seen people, I know people that claim they did everything right. And then their kids went to seed and went to pot, and they blame God. I did everything right, and look, you didn't keep your end of the deal. No, they let other people come in and take a turn on the handle. And then won't take, see, they didn't understand this matter of instruction and guidance. Another thing is, just because you have all the equipment to do the job doesn't mean you know how to do it. You know, there's a lot of things that I have tried to instill in my kids and help them get a handle on. But if they only listen for a certain amount of time and then they say, okay, I got this, are they going to be successful? Well, maybe for a very short time, but not completely, because they didn't keep. I desire the instruction of my father more now than I think I ever have. But I have found myself in my life at certain times unable to get it from Him, because I never would receive it in the past. You know, after a while, I mean, He figured, He knew what was going on, and I did not. And I don't think we ever get to a point where we don't need instruction and guidance from someone. From somebody. You know, there's no fool like an old fool. You've heard that saying? Well, it's because you can't tell them anything. And when you start out and you're a young fool, oh my goodness, you're going to be an old one someday. And if that light that you have is darkness, how great is that darkness, Jesus said. And that's in this physical world, about worldly things as well as spiritual. Just because you've grown up in church, just because you've forgot more preaching than anybody's ever heard, doesn't mean that you have the tools and the know-how to do what you need to do in this life. I grew up in church. I grew up, we never missed. I've been so many places you can't even imagine. And yet I thought, because I had all the tools, I knew how to do it. And I didn't. I made a mess, because there was a lot of other people involved in the forging of what I become and what I love. Instruction and guidance. You can't become a master electrician, master potter, a master forger, a master welder, a master carpenter, anything. You can't master a trade like that unless you're willing to understand that you don't know anything and that you're never going to stop learning. And all your wisdom and instruction has to come from someone who knows what they're doing. The Bible says wisdom cometh from the Lord in the matter of things like raising your kids. But I've seen people who got the tools and they think that's all they need. They don't need instruction from anyone else. So they're going to take these tools and they're going to show you how they're going to do it. Oh my. What a mess. What a mess. And you'll never convince them. I mean, they've found a better way. And, you know, that's what we keep saying. You hear this conversation around sometimes about all the electronics we have and how convenient they make life. And I'm not going to lie, they really do. You know, you can go to a festival, a little craft fair somewhere, and I can sell someone something using their credit card through my phone and a little old swiper thing, and bloop, it's done. And I would have missed that sale if I hadn't have had all this electronics and technology. But everyone has become so dependent on these things that one of these days, if anything ever happens, nobody's going to even know how to add and subtract. Because you've become so dependent on this new way. The Bible, I mean, people have done the same thing with the things of God. That's why he said, seek ye out the old path. Wherein is what? The good way. The good way. Because it still works. You know, I had a surveyor come when we were buying our property last year. And he came. And, of course, they've got all of their markers there. It's all satellite now. They've got their what do they call it, like a grade stick, it looks like, and they got their tripod set up and everything, but it's all working off of satellites and, you know, global positioning and all this kind of thing. It's all super intricate, and I mean precise. But he said, you know, and he was an old man, and he said, I started out doing this when I was young, when we used chains and strings and square and compass and all this kind of stuff. And he said, I'm really glad that I had to learn it that way first. Because he said, there's still times to this day where these things, I mean, $50,000 worth of equipment to do this with the satellites. And he said, it just won't work. And we got to get out the chains and get out the string and do it the old-fashioned way. Because it still works. And, you know, while there's some advantages to the new things that come along, you better not ever stray too very far off that the old path. You know, because people way back then could teach other people how to do stuff. You ever try to teach someone how to do anything now? You said that the other day about how they were teaching you how to teach at work, and I didn't hear you say much else about it. But, you know, I would not want to be a teacher in this society that we live in now, because you can't teach someone something that knows everything. And even rebels back in the day, way on back, I mean, it ain't like it's only been bad the last 30 years. I mean, there's always been hard heads, and there's always been, you know, people who are hard to make them understand, but there's always been an understanding that at the end of the day, you know, the teacher is who knew, and you did not. And you either were going to submit, I've read old books about them whooping kids and stuff in school, the Laura Ingalls Wilder books. Talking about that one teacher, and he was a thin, frail man. And there was a lumberjack town. And that one boy come in there, and he was going to whoop the teacher. And he threatened him out one time because he's just bigger than him. But that boy's, Almanzo's father, gave him his bullwhip and told him keep it in his desk. And he taught him how to use it one weekend. And then the next week, the boy come in there, and he was going to start in, and he whooped the ever-living stuffing out of him with that big long bullwhip, and order was restored. Then the boy come back to school and sat there and did his lessons. Why? Because he was forced to submit to the fact that he did not understand and the teacher did. And see, that's void in our society now. It's funny because you got to learn to submit. And see, submission has been painted into this thing nowadays where it's like submission is the last thing that happens when someone's foot's on your throat. And that's not what submission is at all. That's what being vanquished is. Submission is a voluntary thing that can work in very much hand-in-hand unison with peace and tranquility and what we're talking about here. Instruction and guidance, the key ingredient is submission. That doesn't mean that you're admitting that your intellect is less than someone else's. Or that your intelligence isn't capable of understanding. No. That's what the world's philosophy paints it into, the false confidence they inject into the kids nowadays. And our society, I say kids nowadays, once again, generations have been done this way, to where the world's full of people now who think they know how to do everything and they don't even know how to receive instruction. And they refuse to submit to guidance. You know, you guys that's been in the military or are in the military, I mean, there's a boy in town here that, in Piedmont, some friends of ours, and their son graduated high school last year, joined the Marine Corps, and he shipped out here back at the first of the month. But for all summer long, you could go out there to where he lived, and he had a backpack full of rocks, and he was running in the hot summertime. He was already submitting to what he knew the guidance was going to be when he got out there in California. I mean, and everyone that had been down that road advised him to do what he was doing. He'd never been there, but everybody else who had said, you better try to condition a little bit before you go out there, or you're going to have a hard time, because they'll make you conform. And so what did he do? He submitted to a little guidance. And I bet you right about now, he's really glad that he did. Yeah. And it's that way in everything. It's that way in serving the Lord too. You know, there are people that God put, and I'll read some scripture here to go along with this. In Proverbs 1, 7 through 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Most people read that one and that's as far as they go. Read on. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Well, what's that mean? Well, just what it said. This father and mother had the right understanding about instruction and guidance. And this is assuming that they taught this child the right way. They said, don't forsake it. Why? For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. When? Forever. For the rest of your life. Long after mom and daddy are gone. See, the truth is non-discriminate and it never changes. It never ages. It never tarnishes. It never compromises. And in this matter, if you'll get a hold of this, then it'll be that ornament on your head. It'll be those chains of gold around your neck someday that people look at and say, wow, where in the world did he get that? He got it from not forsaking the things that mom and dad taught you. You know, there's things that's been placed, people that's been placed in your life besides the tools that he gave you to teach you how to use those tools, to teach you how to even learn, to teach you how to learn. We talk about this to the kids because they're like, algebra is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. You know, I've seen memes where it says, yet another week has went by and I've never used algebra that I learned. Well, algebra is not about teaching you how to solve mathematical problems necessarily. It's about training your mind to think. How to think. And that's what I tell my kids, you know, I know it's tough. I struggled with it too. But just embrace it and learn the formulas. And just do it. And it'll teach you how to solve problems down the road that have nothing to do with math or algebra. It'll teach you how to submit to instruction and guidance. You try to buck the system in algebra and you are going to fail. You know, it's just that way. And it's funny because math is one of those things that I think came from the mind of God. Because there has to be 100% perfect order or else it won't work. There is no variation that will work other than the one way. And it's this way with this too. We spend too much time, I think, trying to teach our kids things. And we don't teach them how to learn. We don't teach them how to receive instruction. We don't teach them how to submit to the fact that if they want to be successful and they want to be a good parent someday, they have to understand that they don't know how to do it yet. And they have to understand that they got to learn it from someone who does. And there's peace and joy and safety inside the realms of those parameters of understanding. You know, if you know these things, then okay, we can do something with that. But when you're always having to run out here and drag them back in from the fields of I know how to do everything, there'll be no time to teach them how to learn. You know? The Lord put your parents in your life. Even if it's in a small capacity, He put them in your life for you to be able to learn and to help you learn. Proverbs 4:13, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Of what? Instruction. You know, when you stop looking for instruction, that's when you know you got a problem. You'll start digressing from that point forward. Proverbs 6:20-23, my son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually on thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. You know, tie them about that. You remember Millie, our old dog out there in Patterson, and she got to where she'd kill a chicken. And that we couldn't, you know, we loved our dog, but we needed the chickens. And they couldn't coexist in that capacity. So Dad took a dead chicken, and he took some baling wire, and he wired it to her collar. He bound it around her neck till it rotted off of her. And guess what she never did again? She never killed another chicken. She'd see the chickens, she'd go to the other side of the house. She wanted nothing to do with the chickens. Why? Because she learned her lesson. He bound it about her neck. And it's that way with this matter too. You know, we spend a lot of time, and we've talked about it ourselves, about all the things we tell our kids not to do, or all the things we warn our kids against. But there's some things we need to bind around their neck about the good, about the things to seek out, the people to seek out for instruction. You know, this matter, and you've heard it, and it's offensive to everyone that has had to deal with, the people who've been affected by this in their life in a negative way, where you find a kid that looks at you and says, I don't have to listen to you. You ain't my mama. You ain't my daddy. And yet you're their grandpa, or you're their aunt or their uncle, or, you know, I try to teach my kids, and it's a hard lesson to teach, to submit one to another, you know, and it's been a hard thing, and we're still not there yet to drive home that, you know, hey, you ought to, this matter of submission is the sister of obedience. And if your older sister tells you to do something, you need to obey her. If there's an issue, I'll deal with it. But you need to obey. And to not, if you won't obey her, there'll come a time where you won't obey me. And if you won't obey me, you're not going to obey God. Because the problem is not just with obedience. It's a matter of that you refuse to receive instruction and guidance. And that's why from the time they're born, you're teaching them how to receive instruction and guidance in one way or another, whether to receive it or not. You know, and so, bind it about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Instruction and guidance also have one more thing, and it's called correction. Reproof. You know, that's all part of instruction and guidance. You ain't going to do it right every time, so you got to be corrected. And if you will learn to receive instruction, if we can teach our kids to receive instruction, if we'll receive instruction, if we'll submit our will to receive instruction and guidance from God, then when correction time comes, it's not with the bullwhip. It's gentle guidance. You know, submit that yourself under the mighty hand of God. Submit. He won't have to slap you around. You know, there's a better way to learn. I never enjoyed, not even a little bit, never enjoyed disciplining my kids when it came to the rod. I'd try just about anything else before it come to that. Sometimes it's had to. But, boy, it's sure a lot sweeter when they'll just receive instruction. And the Lord feels the same way. A lot of the problems that we have spiritually, and the spiritual problems we see in this nation, in our churches, in our homes, stems all the way back from the fact that not only do our kids not know how to receive instruction and guidance, we have refused to do the same with God. And they've just learned from us. Submitting to the instruction and guidance of God is not an oppressive thing. It's not a hard yoke. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Never is brutal and cruel. He never upbraids. He never tries to make you think that you need to listen to him because you're just too stupid to make it on your own. No. He loves you. He loves me. Just like you love your children. And you want to see them succeed at life. But they'll never succeed at life. They'll never succeed spiritually. Nothing. If they don't learn how to receive instruction and guidance. And we're the ones that are teaching them. With everything we do every day. Every day.